that wants to be in control doesn't like the word hope. To my fearful mind, hope implies that there's something I'm unable to make happen on my own. While I may not like that concept, it's exactly what I need. Hope helps us move through our problems and choose to perceive them in a new way. Hope is the conduit for miracles. For me to move past the sadness, shame, and need to control, I had to surrender to hope and let go of my plans. In this process, I was reminded of the need to turn inward for answers. Carl Jung said, "Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakes." When we look outside for our faith, we get lost in the dreams of who we think we should be, what we think we need, and when we think we need it. But when we turn inward, we surrender to the one and only truth, which is love. When we surrender to love, we can experience our darkest moments as the greatest catalyst for transformation. The pathway back to hope is through surrender. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It must be a daily practice. Consider my situation. Here I was in the midst of writing a book on how to trust the love of the universe, all the while trying to control my own circumstances. The need to control is sneaky. It can blindside us. The ego thinks it knows the way, and it does everything it can to keep us in a headlock. The best way, and ultimately the only way, to stay connected to the flow you've established is to surrender and then surrender some more. This is not to say that surrender is easy. I see people struggle with it all the time, especially around money. The fear of turning over your earning capacity to the care of the universe is terrifying for some of us. We worry that if we're not fully in control of our earnings, that we won't be able to pay the bills and life will spiral into chaos. But that controlling attitude blocks others from wanting to hire us, promote us, or buy our product. Surrendering our money to the universe doesn't mean that we don't go to work and take action. What it means is that we take action from a faithful state. We surrender our financial needs to the love of the universe while simultaneously showing up for work with faith and grace. Faith and grace, not controlling energy, clear the path to abundance. Another point of contention is relationships, romantic and otherwise. I witness people trying to control their partner's behaviors or manipulate a relationship. This doesn't necessarily mean they're conniving or uncaring, not at all. They just desperately want the relationship to look the way they decided it should. Controlling your relationships blocks love and deprives you of your spiritual lessons. But surrendering your relationships to the care of the universe invites love back in. When you let go and allow the universe to guide your relationships, it's like booking a session with an invisible therapist. The presence of love sets into the relationship naturally. Guidance comes in many forms, and your behavior changes. When you surrender your relationship to love, you're able to bring your highest self to the table. How about goals and scheduling? If you're anything like me, you really like to have a plan and stick to it. However, over-planning blocks the natural order and puts a limit on what would otherwise be limitless possibilities. When you over-plan, you limit your capacity to co-create with the universe. Rigidly sticking to a plan forces you to rely on your will, which cuts you off from the support and wisdom of the universe. In my case, my plan was blocking the sacred joy of making a baby. Releasing the timing and schedule was the only way for me to let love lead and clear space for my life to unfold with grace. I had to surrender my plans and expectations to the care of the universe and trust that love would lead the way. Surrendering to love is not always easy, but it's absolutely necessary if you want to live a miraculous life. You don't have to surrender fully overnight. In fact, it usually doesn't happen all at once. Surrender is a process. A Course in Miracles says, each small step will clear a little of the darkness away. Here are the steps I use to clear away the darkness of control and surrender to the love of the universe. Step 1. Take your hands off the steering wheel. In his book, The Seat of the Soul, Gary Zukav writes, "Take your hands off the steering wheel. Be able to say to the universe, 'Thy will be done,' and to know it within your intentions. Spend time in this thought. Consider what it means to say, 'Thy will be done,' and allow your life to go into the hands of the universe completely. To restore your connection to the guidance of the universe, you must loosen your grip. When you surrender your plans and release control, you stop pursuing the path of your misguided ego. You allow the voice of your intuition and the energy of love to be your guide. The way you take your hands off the wheel is through prayer. If you're in need of surrender, begin each day with these words. Today I surrender my goals and plans to the care of the universe. I offer up my agenda and accept spiritual guidance. I trust that there is a plan far greater than mine. I know that where there once was lack and limitation, there are spiritual solutions and creative ideas. I step back and let love lead the way. Thy will be done. These words will help you humbly surrender to the guidance of the universe. Something miraculous happens when you let go and allow. You open up to an infinite field of possibilities. The moment I surrendered my desire to be a mother, I felt taken care of. I knew that the universe was guiding me in the perfect direction, time, and order. Trusting the path of the universe gave me freedom and happiness in the midst of uncertainty. Step 2. Turn over time. The biggest block to living with faith is time. There are many situations in our lives that we cannot control. You can't decide the exact day you'll conceive, the moment your lover will propose, or a million other things. But you can control how you experience each moment of each day. The way to surrender your need to control time is to embrace the present moment. In any moment, you can receive a miracle with a decision to choose love. That simple choice, to choose love over fear, can release you of time and restore your hope and faith. Love is a decision, and all that is asked of you is the willingness to choose it. Each time you do is a miracle. And with total willingness, your obsession with time will end. The miracle is now. A Course in Miracles lesson 173 is, "The light has come." I once had a deep conversation with my friend and mentor, Robert Holden. We both have a shared love for this lesson. For Robert, it's a gentle reminder that the light isn't coming when you get the job or the baby is born. The light has come. It's already here. In any given moment, you can surrender to the light and live in the miracle. To give up your obsession with time, we must accept that the light has come. We already embody all the love, joy, and peace we long for. In any moment, when you find yourself caught up in time, you can return to the miracle of the moment. Accept that the light has come and live in the miracle. Imagine how free you would feel if you lived your life moment to moment rather than milestone to milestone. When you turn over time, you can trust in the order of the universe. You have faith that everything is happening to you in the perfect time so that you can grow and heal. Embrace the miracle available in every moment, and each step will be perfectly laid out before you. Don't rush your spiritual evolution. Enjoy it. It's the journey that matters, not the destination. Step 3. Surrender your goals and let faith take the lead. We must learn to give up goals and embrace hope and faith. Goals often imply that you need to achieve something else to be happy. Remember, there's nothing wrong with visions, dreams, and desires as long as you're willing to surrender them. The key is to gently hold great visions and then release them to the universe. To feel free and surrendered, we must learn to release our attachments. Deepak Chopra says, "When you're happy for some reason, you're still in misery because that reason can be taken away from you tomorrow." Instead of seeking some reason or outcome to make us happy, we must learn to trust in the wonders of the universe. Each day brings new miracles to celebrate. Each moment can be a miracle if we choose to perceive it that way. Instead of focusing on goals and outcomes, redirect your focus onto celebrating what you already have. Take time each day to devote your attention to what is thriving in your life. In my case, I gave up the goal of getting pregnant on a specific date and chose instead to focus on the deep love I have for my husband. I made it my intention to feel connected and in love. I redirected my energy onto my body and the health I am blessed to enjoy. I concentrated on my home and the space I am creating for the baby I am ready to call into my life. Instead of focusing on when I will have something or someone new, I focused on what I already have. When you return your focus to what you already embody and enjoy in your life, you can let go of what you think you need. That doesn't mean that you cut off your desire. In fact, it's quite the opposite. You bring far more love and energy to your desire when you take the pressure off. Focusing on what you do have creates more of what you want. Step 4, turn it over to the Holy Triangle. A beautiful element of my spiritual practice is my Holy Triangle. It's a wooden triangle that hangs above my altar. Each edge of the triangle has a meaning: faith, love, and charity. The triangle is a symbol used in the John of God community to facilitate spiritual surrender. The idea is that when you write down your desire and place it in the Holy Triangle, the desire will be taken care of. You leave your desire in the triangle for a week, and then at the end of the week, you remove the piece of paper and burn it. The act of burning the paper symbolizes your faith and trust that your desire is being supported. I burn my paper over the kitchen sink. If you don't want to burn it, you can flush it down the toilet. When I was wrapping up this chapter, I realized that I hadn't placed my desire to be a mother into the Holy Triangle. All this time, I'd been so controlling that I've forgotten this crucial step. Placing my desire into the triangle allowed me to tell the universe that I know it's being handled. You too can have a Holy Triangle. You can make one, or if that isn't you, simply use a box. I've taught many people to create their own God box, and it offers the same service as a triangle. You can decorate the box in any way that empowers you. Once you have the triangle or box, try it out. Write down your desire and place it in the hands of the universe. At the end of 1 week, take it out and burn it. Be sure to burn it safely in the sink. That's all it takes. As you continue on with this practice, be mindful not to put the same desire back in the box. That would imply that you didn't trust it was being taken care of. This is a powerful practice of surrendering. Practice these 4 steps and then offer up your desire to the Holy Triangle or box. Place your desire in your triangle and say a silent prayer to surrender it to the universe. Turn it over once and for all and know your request is being heard. These 4 steps will greatly help you surrender what you think you need and embrace what is of the highest good for all. Focus on the subtle, moment-to-moment shifts. As A Course in Miracles reminds us, each small step will clear a little of the darkness away. You may be wondering how you'll know when you've truly surrendered. You know you've surrendered when you trust that the universe has a better plan than you do. You've surrendered when you no longer manipulate and force outcomes. You've surrendered when you let go of the need to be in charge of your life. You've surrendered when you let go of the need to be in charge of your life and let the universe get to work instead. Finally, you know you've surrendered when you don't defend your need to control. Follow this path and surrender your goals. Here's the recap of the steps to surrender. Take your hands off the wheel through prayer. Turn over time by accepting the present moment as a miracle. Surrender your goals and let faith take the lead. Release your desire to your God box or Holy Triangle. Trust it is being taken care of. These steps will clear even more space for the universe to serve as your guide. Once again, I'm reminded of the wisdom of A Course in Miracles. There is a way of living that is not here, though it seems to be. You do not change appearance, but you smile more frequently. Your forehead is soft and your eyes are serene. Surrender offers you this kind of serenity. When you practice surrender, you'll begin to lean on a power greater than you. In time, you'll know it's always there, and you'll rely on it. Chapter 12, Be an Instrument for Love. One morning, I was sitting in my kitchen at the Mountain House having breakfast with my husband. Suddenly, out of the corner of my eye, I saw 3 men approaching from the driveway. They were dressed in all black with hoods covering their heads, and each carried something long and black. I went into complete terror and started planning ways to run and escape. I was almost paralyzed with fear, for in that moment I was convinced that these 3 menacing-looking men were walking toward us carrying large guns. As the men neared the house, the reality of the situation presented itself. These were not murderers coming to get me, but the nice guys who cut the yard walking around with their leaf blowers. While this may seem funny, it was actually terribly upsetting. What upset me most was that because of the gun violence in my country, I instantly assumed the worst. Because of the gun control issues in the United States, I walk through life with an unconscious fear that at any moment someone will show up with a gun. This is a real fear that many people can relate to. Later that week, there was news about yet another mass shooting in California. And the statistics presented by the news media were staggering. There have been mass shootings every day since the Sandy Hook tragedy. Our chances of being killed by another American with a gun far outweigh any chance of being killed in a terrorist attack. As I watched the news report, I started to get very angry. I began to feel a strong need to fight back, speak up, and be heard. So I took my rage and anger to the internet. I posted a picture of a gun with a ban sign across it. The comment said, "Sending prayers to our country, this has to stop." Within minutes, there were hundreds of comments. To my surprise, there were women on my page defending their guns. There were comments like, "I'm disappointed in you, Gabby. I need my gun to protect my family." These comments sent me into rage. I started preaching to my husband about how insane I thought these responses were, and that the need for guns as protection only perpetuated the problem. I said to my husband, "I'm going to post again." Then my husband responded with some necessary wisdom. "How's that going to help?" he asked. "Your negative post is only going to fuel the fire. Aren't you all about facing adversity with love?" In that moment, my husband was my guru. Zach has always been a powerful mirror for me to see my shadow and bring it to the light. Sometimes it's the people closest to us who can reflect back our greatest learning opportunities for spiritual growth. I smiled and said, "You're right. I cannot defend against this fear with anger. I must be an instrument for love." I refrained from defending, commenting, or deleting the negative comments. Instead, I sat with my feelings and called on love. I recognized myself in the angry mothers on my Facebook page. Their need for guns arose from the same sense of fear I had. After all, we are all scared of violence and have the deep desire to protect our families. With compassion, I could see their opinions with love. Gun violence is one of the many horrific issues we're currently facing as a nation. How do we find safety in the midst of uncertainty? How do we find power when we feel so powerless? How do we find peace when there is so much fear? The answer is to lead from a place of love. Our capacity to tune into the energy of love gives us the words we need when we're ready to speak up, the compassion we need when it's time to forgive, and the power we need when we are lost. As a spiritual activist, I believe that the greatest power we have to combat the terror of these times is our power to live in love. Love casts out all fear. Every chapter of this book has been leading you to this point. You now know how powerful you truly are. You know that you have the capacity to connect to the force of the universe to influence others with your presence. You know your power lies in your capacity to be love and spread light. The more love you bring to the world, the more you will inspire others to live in love. Then they will do the same. This ripple effect of love is what changes patterns, creates peaceful revolutions, and ends wars. You may feel that your power is lost in the hands of some insane CEO, terrorist, or fear-based world leader. It's not. Your power lies in your capacity to spread love. It may be hard to grasp the idea that spreading love can abolish terrorism, reduce gun violence, heal the environment, feed the hungry, free the enslaved, and so on. I get it. I too feel defeated, powerless, and lost a lot of the time. But in the moments when I remember my power lies in my capacity to spread love, I regain my strength, certainty, and peace. We absolutely must commit to this truth in order to save the world. We change the world when we shift spiritually, when our attitudes become more loving, when we forgive, when we heal our wounds from the past, and when we embrace the present moment. The miracles that occur on an individual level have a massive impact on the collective field of energy. One person's shift toward love shines light onto all. I write these books to have an impact on your life so that you can have an impact on the world. As each individual lights up his or her life, the world becomes brighter. In our light, the darkness cannot coexist. When I was in the process of writing this book, I told my literary mentor what it was about. I said, "This book is about helping people find safety in the midst of uncertainty, power when they feel powerless, and love in a fearful world." He replied, "That's lovely and powerful, but books about saving the world don't sell." As a marketer, I totally understood where he was coming from. But as a woman, living during these difficult times, I was unwilling to give up my intention. While I want all my readers to learn how to manifest their desires, thrive in their careers, and enjoy wildly incredible relationships, what I want most from you is to be the light. My commitment in this lifetime is to wake up as many people as possible to their power to lead from a place of love. I perceive myself as a can opener who is here to crack you open to your highest potential to serve the world with your joy. I am deeply devoted to waking you up to your true purpose. Be love and spread love. Our lives depend on it. These words can no longer be cute buzz phrases that we post on Instagram. These words must be our mission. The safety and security we long for lie in our commitment to love. The final steps of this book will guide you to embrace your capacity to join me as a spiritual activist. This work will remind you that your connection to the universe must be used for the highest purpose, to save the world. Follow these steps and accept my invitation. Join me in being the light. Step 1. Wake up. I have the privilege of witnessing thousands of people embrace their spiritual natures. It's incredible to see people wake up to their connection to love. But far too often, I also see that these spiritually conscious people are extremely unconscious about what's going on in the world. Or maybe they're aware because they watch the news and read the paper, but they're apathetic to the issues. There's nothing more upsetting to me than highly spiritual people who are disengaged from the world around them. While I do not recommend getting sucked into the dramas of the news, I feel it is our responsibility to consciously wake up to what's going on around us. If we ignore what's happening, we'll fall into the trap of apathy and forget the importance of our light. Being conscious of the darkness in the world fuels our desire to bring more light. Consciousness inspires us to speak up when it's necessary and devote our prayers to those who need them most. Consciousness connects us to all the souls throughout the world who do not have the privilege we may have. Consciousness reminds us to be grateful, joyful, and kind. Without consciousness, it's easy to get caught up in the littleness of our lives. The insane and ridiculous stories we make up and the silly problems we focus on. If you do identify in any way with being apathetic or unconscious, forgive yourself immediately. Remember that in an instant you can dissolve the patterns of your past and step into the power of this present moment. Right now, make the commitment to shift your focus from your littleness and onto the world around you. Take time each day to pay attention to what's happening in the world and devote your loving thoughts and prayers to those who need you most. Step 2. Remember where your true power lies. Be mindful of the power you call on to create change. Are you an angry peace activist or a light worker? Know the difference. Become conscious of how you may use fear as power and separation as a weapon. When we become more conscious of what's happening in the world, it's easy to get scared and angry, much like what happened when I got so fiercely outraged by the gun violence in my country. It's okay to get mad, and it's natural to rage. But remember that anger is not where your true power lies. The key to our power is our capacity to lead from a place of love. So feel the anger and share your outrage with a friend. Honor your anger and fear as great teachers on the path back to peace. Then, as quickly as possible, return to love. Reconnect to your power through prayer. Here's a prayer you can use when you need to access your true power. I recognize my anger and I honor my reaction to the darkness. I know my power lies in my capacity to be the light. I call on the energy and thoughts of love to pour through me and inspire me to take action from a place of true power. Accept your role as a spiritual activist who shows up for the fears of the world with love. Lead from a place of forgiveness and compassion. Know that you can speak up, rise up, and show up with grace. You have the power to dissolve all boundaries with love. Step 3. The peace of love is shining in you now. Lesson 188 from A Course in Miracles says, "Why wait for heaven? Those who seek the light are merely covering their eyes. The light is in them now. Enlightenment is but a recognition, not a change at all." Do you think you need to change your circumstances to change your life? All you need to do is change your mind and remember love. Accept the love within you and you'll light up the world. Believe in this light no matter what. Your conviction and certainty help others remember their own. Your remembrance alone has the power to heal. Accept the love that shines through you now. Declare your commitment to live in the light. Honor the wounds that got you here. The Sufi poet Rumi said, "The wound is the place where the light enters you." Trust that your wounds are exactly as the universe planned. They were divinely placed in your life in the perfect order so that you could show up for them with love and remember the light within. As difficult as your circumstances may have been, take a moment to honor them now. Honor the trauma, honor the pain, and honor the fear, knowing that all along the peace of love was always shining through you. No matter what happens to you in this lifetime, this truth will never change. The peace of love will never leave you. When the fears of the world take you out, return to the present moment and remember that the peace of love still shines in you now. Gently witness the stories and fearful thoughts as distractions from this truth. In the present moment, you can return to love and be at peace. In the present moment, you can restore your connection to the universe and release yourself from all suffering. Step 4. Become an instrument for love. There is no greater experience than allowing the presence of love to move through you. As you heal your own life through your connection to love, you will be guided to help others do the same. Sometimes the guidance will lead you in directions you never could have imagined. The direction may not always seem logical, but the call will be undeniable. Throughout my life, I've witnessed many transformational leaders follow that undeniable call. One example is Oprah Winfrey. I had the privilege of being invited to a screening of Oprah's own series, Belief. The show featured stunning stories about religious and spiritual practices from around the world, and each story evidenced the power of the universal energy of love. The stories released all religious and spiritual separation and presented us with a vision of what true oneness is. At the screening, Oprah shared the story behind why she created Belief. She said that in her prayers, she asked God to use her for the highest good, and the response she received was to create this series. She put her own money, time, and energy into creating it. At the end of her speech, she teared up as she shared her gratitude with allowing the universal energy of love to work through her in the creation of something so transformational. We all have the capacity to allow the universal energy of love to use us for the highest good. That is why we are here. To remember love and to allow it to move through us, heal us, and inspire us to serve. When we surrender to this commitment, we can truly co-create with the universe. We can create movements far beyond our logical mind's capacity to see. We can help others heal and serve people all over the world. The simple act of asking, "How would you use me?" opens the floodgates for love to transcend all doubt and limitation. Your fear cannot coexist in the presence of this love. That is the final step of this book. Become an instrument for the love of the universe. Begin each day with this simple prayer. How would you use me? Then step back and allow. Let love direct your life. The Course says, "You are at peace and you bring peace with you wherever you are." Allowing the universe to guide you, heal you, and direct you brings peace back into your consciousness. Peace and love can never be lost. When you lead your life with grace and love, you begin to feel a swell of energy move through you. You're given words when you don't have them. You're given strength when you are down. You're given synchronicity and support when you feel lost. You're given safety when you're uncertain. As I conclude this book, I am days away from celebrating 10 years of sober recovery. This anniversary marks the day that I remembered love, the day that I surrendered to the universe for help. I am in awe of the gifts I have received as a result of allowing the universe to be my guide. I am in awe of how I allowed love to work through me. I am in awe of the transformation I have undergone. I am deeply moved by the support, love, and guidance I have grown to rely on. Most important, I am proud of my willingness to heal the world through love. I think about where I was 10 years ago, 25 years old, strung out on drugs, and severely insecure. I was a girl who lived in fear, doubt, and uncertainty. Today I am a woman who lives in the light. My transformation is yours. It's available to you now. All you have to do is choose love, spread light, and know that the universe has your back. There are many incredible people who helped me bring this book to life. My literary mentor, guide, and agent, Michelle Martin, who's been on this journey with me from the very beginning. I am deeply grateful for my powerhouse publishers at Hay House, Reed Tracy, Patty Gift, Rochelle Fredson, Michelle Pilley, Leon Naxon, Louise Hay, and the entire Hay House family. Thank you, Katie Carlson. You are far more than my editor. You are my dear friend. A huge shout out to my husband, Zach. Hollywood, you are my forever plus one. You are my partner and my best friend. Thank you, Z, for putting your heart and soul into this book. Finally, I thank you, my reader. It's because of you that I write these books. I'm deeply inspired by your willingness to grow, heal, and transcend fear and step into your light. You are my hero. I hope this book feels like a huge hug holding you tightly and reminding you that the universe has your back.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.